Welcome to the Messiantics Podcast, a podcast about all things Messianic Judaism. Each episode, we will be sharing our opinions as we tackle some of the biggest issues in Messianic Judaism. Now, here's your hosts, Rabbis Eric, David, Jonathan, and Toby.
Shalom, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever you are. We're happy that you're with us here on the Messiantics Podcast. I'm Rabbi Toby, and with me is Rabbi David, Rabbi Eric, and Rabbi Jonathan. And this week we're revisiting a subject, a topic we've talked about previously, because we are getting into, we're getting close to the month of November. We're recording this episode towards the end of October. We're getting close to November, so we know that that means we're getting close to December. And December for us Messiantics, we know that that is conference season for if you're in the Southeast, right. You know,
and because we're rabbis.
Yeah. So we know that if you're in the Southeast, December is for the IMCS, MJAA, Southeast Regional Conference. And we know that the Rabbis Conference is in January. And we also have the UMJC Leadership Conference in January. So yeah. It's a pretty action-packed, it's our postseason, if you want to put it that way. We just want to have
it is because we just came out of High Holy Days.
Yeah.
And now we're
from everywhere in the country to just unify and worship,
right.
It would be amazing. And so when I go, I absolutely love those times. And second to that would be the fellowship. Now, I love the classes, and I go to the classes, and I learn from these different rabbis and teachers. And I love hearing Paul Wilbur or some of the other people that are singing and the different and the up and coming artists who are given a shot to share their music. But there's just something unique about that experience of worship that it's the payoff for everything else.
Right.
For me, one of the most, I think, impressive times out of all the years that I've gone to the Southeast region in particular, which has been most of my life, is. So when I was growing up in the YMJ and the Young Messianic Jewish Alliance, it was weird. It was always this weird thing because you'd have these families come together for the conference, but then you would have like, so the YMJ does their own kind of mini conference in the conference, which is great. Like my kids are both YMJ age. And so
yeah, it really is like a separate world for them.
And they love it because they get to go, they're seeing their friends, they get fed spiritually, they worship with their peers and so on. But when I was growing up in the YMJ and my early years as a rabbi, the YMJA at the conferences had their own Shabbat service, their own Torah service, separate from the main Shabbat Torah service for the main conference. And it was always weird. Like when I was in the YMJ, I never went to the YMJ one because I wanted to go to the regular one. Like I wanted to be with my family, with my, you know, congregations and such in the regular, the main service and participate there because I really like the idea of Shabbat being spent together with your family and so on. So I never really went to the YMJ Torah service. And then when I became a rabbi, I don't remember who. Somebody found out that I can sing reasonably okay. And so they asked me, and that I love doing liturgy. And so they asked me to start leading the liturgical service for the YMJ Torah service. So for a few years, I led the liturgy for the YMJ Torah service. And then a couple of times they had me speak in their Shabbat service and all. But it always felt weird that the teens and 20-somethings were separate from their families on Shabbat morning. And so for a number of years, I had been like communicating, hey, it would be awesome if we could do this big intergenerational joint service and get some of the YMJ involved up on the main stage and so on. And it was funny because for several years I would hear from the, and this was my early days as a rabbi, and even before that I was having these conversations with people, but I would always hear, well, from the rabbis, oh, that we would love to do that, but the YMJ doesn't want to do it. And then from the YMJ leadership, it was, oh, we would love to do that, but the rabbis don't want to do it. I was like, okay. So one year I brought it up, and but this time, and I'll be perfectly honest, I was kind of conniving and shady in the way I handled this, just throwing that out there also. But I was like, I'm going to see what happens if I kind of, you know, as people say today, bring the receipts. And so I sent an email to the rabbis and said, hey, you know, it'd be really cool if we did this. But I also sent the exact same email to the YMJ and said, hey, it'd be cool if we did this. And then they both came back at the same time and said, oh, we would love to, but they won't do it. And I went, oh, well, funny you said that, and kind of shipped their responses back. And they were both kind of like, oh, we can do this, I guess. And now there were some rabbis who were very much like, this will never work. This is going to be terrible. These kids don't want to do this. They don't want to be. It's like, no, we've been doing this by ourselves for years. Like, these kids want this. And enough of the rabbis really want it. Let's see what happens. And so it developed, and there was definitely like some tension. Some of the rabbis weren't necessarily so thrilled about it and what have you. But that Shabbat service, that Saturday morning Torah service was by far, that first year was by far one of the most, as a matter of fact, I think you and Rabbi Toby, I think you and Brooke were leading worship that year.
Maybe.
If I remember correctly. Yes.
Okay.
it was years.
We led for
ago.
A couple
it was
years.
Years ago. But I think it was, I think you guys were leading, but nonetheless, so.
No, yeah, sorry.
They came up, you know, the rabbis led the service. Some of the young people were involved in some of the liturgy and there were probably, oh geez, I don't know, 15, 20 kids up on the stage, that were involved with the service and different pieces and stuff. And the Torah service itself, when the procession went on, very literally took on a life of its own because everybody was involved. Like the kids, the teens and 20-somethings that were involved in the service took it on themselves to jump into the Torah procession behind the Torah scrolls and follow them around the room. And when they came back up, I mean, there were literally, there were probably close to 800 people, 700-800 people in the room, and I would say probably 300, 400 people were dancing around the Torah together because the kids got everybody excited and started dragging people out, and it was just absolutely unreal. And some of the same rabbis that were saying going into it, this is never going to work, this is not going to, it's going to be terrible, da, 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 were walking off stage going, I'm so glad we had this idea, this was great, this is awesome, we need to do this. And it became this whole other thing, but it was this absolutely, still to this day, that was one of my favorite moments out of any conference I've ever been to, maybe out of any service I've ever been in, was watching this, you know, intergenerational service where, as Rabbi Eric talks about all the time, you know, there was always this argument that the young people wanting to step into leadership just wanted to take the reins and take the pulpits from everybody. And the young people were going, no, we want to work with you until it's time for us to take, we don't want to take over. And he always uses the imagery of the relay race with the baton, that there's a, you know, split period of time, a short period of time where both the handoff and the receiver are carrying the baton together in the race. Mm-hmm. And it was very literally that image in the service, and it was just absolutely mind-blowing, and still to this day it's one of my favorite things, and it's still a part of not only the Southeast region, but it became a part of the way things are done at Messiah Conference now, and so on. But this big intergenerational, families are together and worshiping, it's an absolutely unreal experience, and you'll get to hopefully see that this year if you make yourself make your way down to Orlando for the Southeast Regional, MJ Southeast Regional. By the way, December 15th through 17th yes. this year, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, December 15th through 17th, mm-hmm. Southeast Regional.
At the Rosen Plaza Hotel, you can go to MJAA.org, and we'll drop that in the comment section so you can register online for both the hotel and the conference to do that.
And if you're a congregational leader, rabbi, messianic rabbi, if you're involved in leadership of a messianic congregation, whether you're part of one of the major organizations or not, we encourage you to also go check out the IMCS website, imcs.org, and get the details on the IMCS Rabbis Conference. Come connect and meet with the IMCS rabbis and build a relationship. Get your rabbi, if you're an elder or something, get your rabbi to sign off on you coming and them coming with you and participating. The UMJC, go to umjc.org for the UMJC Winter Leadership Conference, which is like UMJC's Rabbis Conference type of thing. You know, bring your elders, your worship leaders, bring your rabbis and congregational leaders and go and join these same thing. You get the opportunity to build relationship and fellowship with people who are very literally doing the same thing you're doing and get to be sown into in tremendous ways.
One of my most impactful moments at a Southeast conference is actually a result of that combining of the youth with the adults. And that's that as a result of those Shabbat services, they started opening the doors for younger people from the YMJA, the older younger people, to actually share messages during the main services. So it wasn't just the senior rabbis that had opportunity to speak to the entire congregation, but now some of the younger ones. And one of the people speaking was, I think her name is Nisa, but she was talking about her trip to Israel. She'd gone to Israel, and on her trip, they were traveling around, and it was the last day, and they all got on the bus, and they went, and they didn't know where they were going, but they were brought to a place where they actually walked on the road to Emmaus, but they didn't know they were on the road to Emmaus. Mm. And she was sharing about all of the conversations about, you know, here we are. We got all dressed up for something special because they told them they were going to do something special, so they all got dressed up in nice clothes and everything, and now they're getting off the bus, and they're walking through this, you know, natural area, not cobblestone, and they're going through bushes, and they're walking, and they're having these conversations about how dissatisfied they were at that moment with what was happening at that moment. And then they get through the other side, and there's an opening, and the Messianic rabbi who was waiting for them there said, "Do you know where you just were?" And they said, "No." And he said, "You just walked on the road to Emmaus. You were just..." And it just became so clear to all of the young people who were there that they had just experienced something very similar to how the disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, walking with Messiah, yet caught up in the the tragedy of the day and the problems of life and all the things, and didn't realize that Yeshua had been walking with them the whole time. And she presented this in such a powerful way that it will forever stay in my mind. And it, again, this is one of the young people who was just sharing her heart and her experience with the whole community that would not have been given an opportunity just a few years before, because the main services were always spoken by the rabbis, by congregational leaders, and not given the opportunity. But I will never, if I live to be 120, I will never forget the moment she said, we were on the road to Emmaus, and it was like the, you know, the breaking of the bread where Yeshua broke the bread and they realized who he was. Yeah. It was so powerful.
It makes me, not to bring us back to another episode on The Chosen, which we should do another episode on The Chosen soon, but nonetheless, it makes me think
of... Season 4 is coming out in a few
months. Yeah, it's coming out soon. Makes me think of, we were just watching, we've been watching The Chosen with our youth group and discussing the imagery and what's happening in it, and the episode we just watched this Saturday night with the youth was Season 2, Episode 3, I think it was, with where Yeshua's, you know, ministering, and he's got these long lines and crowds and the disciples and all. It kind of focuses on just their internal conversations around a fire and what have you, and they kind of get heated and they're arguing and the whole thing's about to blow up, and here comes Yeshua after spending hours upon hours upon hours ministering, and they're arguing and bickering over the most minute, stupid things that doesn't matter in the least in the grand scheme of things. And here comes Yeshua literally with other people's blood on him. He's just completely depleted and beaten. You know, the humanity of Yeshua, completely beaten and depleted and has no energy left, wiped out. And he's just like, he walks up. They're literally at each other's throats when they hear him coming. They all stop and look. And he's like just barely moving along. And he goes, good night. And goes straight to his tent to try and get ready to go to bed. And everybody's like, he's out here doing something phenomenal, literally world-changing. We're bickering over the dumbest possible things. And you bringing up that story made me think of that scene.
Right. To me, that was just such a powerful, powerful experience with this young lady sharing. And I hope her name was Nisa. And if it wasn't, if whoever listens remembers who it was, please, you know, drop it in the comments, because I want to give credit where credit's due. But it was one of the most, of all the messages I've heard at conference, which there have been some amazing, powerful messages, I will never forget that particular message and the power of just somebody, a young person, having that kind of a revelation to share with the community.
Yeah, I always like that it's a lot of times it falls either at the start or during Hanukkah in some way. And those, you know, because the Hebrew calendar is different, sometimes it can, the conference will be, you know, either before or after it. But I think this year it is during Hanukkah.
It falls right as Hanukkah ends.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. We'll be right in the midst of that. So it's always fun to celebrate Hanukkah with the greater Messianic community. To have an opportunity to do that is something I really enjoy. And I think that,
I was going to say, I wonder if they'll bring out that big Hanukkah.
I don't know, but I think that with everything that's going on in Israel right now, I think that it's going to be a very special conference to go to. I think if you can go, I definitely think you should go. And interestingly enough, you know, they have themes every year, and this theme was already set before
anything started
happening in Israel, and the theme is Hatikva, which I think, man, that's really powerful. You know, God knows what he's doing. So I think it's going to be really special this year.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, Hatikva is only the word for hope, the hope, but it's also the national anthem of Israel. So,
yeah.
And I want to say, along with Rabbi David, who, and I think Rabbi Toby, who invited people to come, even if you're not MJAA, if you're part of the union or part of one of the other tikkun or one or the other, make an effort to come. It is powerful when we get together in unity to these services.
Yeah, and there is a and I think that, I know we opened up really, really on a lighthearted note, and then we kind of went into some of the more serious and really powerful and spirit-filled things that happen. But it really is a time you have a lot of fun, and there's there is a lot of wonderful stories that we have that have come out of that. My kids, you know, I wish I had started bringing my kids sooner, That's another thing. It's my kids love it. My kids love it just because, and they're aged, they're 6 and 9. And so last year they would have been 5 and 8, you know. But for them, the Rosen Plaza was like this castle. And right. all the people were so nice. And the pool and stuff that they just, and I was exhausted by the end of every day. I think I went to bed around 9 o'clock.
Probably swam which is, 5 or 6 miles.
I think the first time I had went to and the last time since, you know, since then, yeah. But I was worn out. But it's really good. So what I'm saying is it oftentimes when the services are over, you can many people go to bed. But if you come out at any hour of the night, it could be 3 a.m. and there will be people, rabbis out there, and they're just hanging out. And I think a lot of it is because they don't. We only get to do this like once or twice a year,
right?
You know.
And we do get, like Rabbi David was saying, we do get consumed with yeah. what's happening at home. So we have – it's funny to say it, but we have friends who, like, we may say, like, Shabbat Shalom or something once in a while to people over the internet or over text. Mm-hmm. But we see them at these conferences, and it's like – like you
pick up where you left off at.
Yeah, you almost never would have known that we live apart because we just develop such right. close ties with these people.
Right.
And I think it bolsters my confidence in, because like we said towards the beginning of the show, this episode, Messianic synagogues are not physically oftentimes, you know, like churches are very concentrated. And locally, location-wise.
Right.
I'm not saying that right, but you know what I mean. Like, the closest Messianic synagogue to us is Brit-Am, if I'm not mistaken, David. And that's almost an hour.
Yeah, we've got Brit-Am about 45 minutes to an hour one direction, and then Tree of Life and Beit Israel about 45 minutes, hour the other direction.
That's exponentially longer. Yeah. And, you know, Brooke and I, my wife and I were having a conversation. I'm not being critical of the church. I'm only stating a fact. And Brooke, my wife, turned to me last night and said, you know, we have a lot of friends and family in the church, and I can tell that what's going on in Israel is not impacting them the way it should.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm sorry. So I guess in some ways I am being a little critical, because if you don't care, I don't care if your church or Messianic synagogue, if you don't care about Israel, you got a problem. But the thing is, though, when I go to these conferences, I see lots of different faces that I hardly ever see.
Right.
And I think, okay, not if, when things start getting really tough, I know I'm not alone. It's not just my little congregation.
Right.
There's many of us, and they're in front of the cameras, and they're up on stage saying the things that they should be saying.
Yes.
That it's not very popular, you would think. Anyway, I don't want to make this all about Israel, but what I'm saying is that I get around these people and I feel strengthened.
Right. And one of the other cool things that that people get to experience yeah. is that rabbis are people.
Right.
You know, when you go to the conferences and you're sitting at a table outside the restaurant or out by the pool or whatever, and you just get to spend relational time with different leaders rather than just sitting there looking at them from your chair as they're on the bima, or watching from your internet, mm-hmm. you know, couch on the internet. But you get to sit down and talk and see these people as humans, as people, and get to see the rest of their life, their kids, their wives, their, you know, acting like normal people, because we are. The one of the things that people don't realize is that that we're human.
And they like hot tubs.
Some of them.
There's a certain squad of rabbis that, you know. Well, we made a big deal. Me and Jonathan made a big deal. Was it Rabbi's Conference we made a big deal? Because me and Jonathan were hanging out with our families by the pool, and the hot tub was empty. And I said, Jonathan, this is our chance.
This is our moment.
This is our moment, God. It's like the light was shining on it. And we all get in. So it's me and my wife and there because she was working. And I mean, I got a good 3 to 5 minutes in there before my kids were like, all right, I'm going to get back to the pool. But anyway, so we had to get back in the pool, but I was like, I did it. I sat in the hot tub that all the rabbis sit in.
Yeah. As a rabbi, you sat in the hot tub.
Yeah. Yeah. God's like, now it's time. You can do it. No, no. But it's the hot tub anointing.
It's an opportunity for people to be people.
Yeah. Immersion.
That's really powerful.
And that's why, like, if you stay, like, after services, you know, especially, like, after the Saturday night service, like, if you run by the lobby area, like, there will be a handful of rabbis who have gone to the bar already and have ordered a drink. And just, you know, if you plop down beside them and start talking, they'll, you know, you'll find out that they're there to relax and have a good time. And you might learn something, or you might might indulge in, like, a lot of jokes and, you know, figure out that, you know, some of them have a humorous side and some of them might not. And
Orlando. The name of the hotel alone, Rosen, tells you that the ownership of the hotel and that whole hospitality group is Jewish. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of Jewish events that occur there. There are Chabad events that occur there. There are different things that are they have a full kosher kitchen that they have opened over the last however many years. They've got, you know, Hanukkah decoration on display. There's a lot of Jewish people in and out of the hotel at all times. Go into it, and that's not even, and I'm talking about Jewish people being in there, but it's a major hotel. There will be a lot of people from all over the world, different walks of life, different faith, different whatever. You're there to be a part of the light of Messiah. Let the light of Messiah shine through you. When as Rabbi Toby said, these divine appointments, I like to call them, appear before you. Take the opportunity to roll with it. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're too busy, or you've got to get to the next class, or you've got to get, let God speak through you in the moment, and let God speak to you in the moment as you're making your way through these conferences. Yeah.
And so at this year's conference, the worship leaders, we got Paul Wilbur, who's going to be there, the Nesbitts, which are a Jewgrass band. They're a bluegrass messianic group.
I look forward to hearing that.
Shea Wilbur will be there. Raleigh Washington is doing the yeshiva this year, all that. But when you go, don't just go for those people, but immerse yourself into it. If you've never been a part of a Davidic dance circle, get up out your chair and give it a try. Become part of what's going on.
You won't feel singled out. There's so many.
Right. There's so many people. It won't be. And just become part of what's going on. It'll change your life. And we encourage you to do that. So, again, we're going to put in the comments the MJA Conference Southeast Regional. You can go to mja.org to check that out. You can go to the umjc.org website and check out their leadership conference as well as their summer conference, which will be next summer. The IMCS Rabbis Conference, if you're a Messianic leader and you're not involved in an organization, or maybe you are but you're looking for some other input into your walk, the IAMCS.org to check that out. And just visit these and make a conference, these conferences, part of your daily or your yearly activities, because it is very much like having a Thanksgiving dinner with your family that you come away full when you're finished.
Thank you for listening to the Messy Antics Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you can be notified every time we drop a new episode. And be sure to follow and interact with us on social media at Messy Antics Podcast.